Blog Talk Radio.
Again to Ascended Masters Present Paranormal Ascension here. I'm here. My name is Matthew Bueno, and I'm here with my co-host, Robin Alexis and Wendy Williams. Our subjects are working with, today we'll be working with Marilyn Monroe, who's crossed over a long time ago, but she's helping us to meet with different spirits who are stuck between worlds, and it is our passion as well as part of it is also our drive, you know, in this life to feel like we have a cause to help those spirits who are stuck between worlds and to be able to help them cross over. And the reason behind that is because I run into a lot of people, you know, who are always wondering, you know, where their family goes when they cross over. And, you know, depending on what kind of way that crossed over, really means a lot, you know, about helping that family have closure with that loved one who's on the other side. And so I've been able to have this gift since I was very, very young to be able to see spirits and to talk to them and to have a relationship. And, you know, this is about, you know, this is, we're not here to try to make you a believer or, you know, we're just sharing with you experiences that we've had in the past and energies that we're in spiritual working with now, because it is our belief, it's my belief that even though spirits don't have bodies, it's super important to take care of our people. It doesn't matter who they are, where they are, what body they look like, what body, you know, if they're in spirit or they don't have a body, it's really super important to us, to me, to be able to help those people. Because I know for me that if I cross over and I'm having trouble getting to the other side, you know, it's people like me I'd like to be able to have assist me in crossing over and you know, and moving forward into my ascension. So I'm going to introduce you right now to Robin Alexis, and she's going to give you a little bit more insight about what we're going to do tonight. So Robin, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, well, thank you, Matthew, so much. It was very interesting trying to get on the show today. I kept getting bounced off. So I think the energies are pretty active. We have been focusing on the last three shows, Maura Murray, and for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to listen to the information that Matthew was able to connect with the spirit of Maura Murray and Marilyn Monroe, you might want to do that. And now I'm starting to feel something coming after my throat. So I'm really having a difficult time here. I'm going to... wow. There's... obviously, we need to set the energy, Matthew. I don't know if you want to do some sort of chanting or drumming, but something's trying to choke me.
Okay, well... sometimes, you know, when we're working with these spirits, you know, sometimes it's, you know, depending on what we're doing, if we're getting close to helping the spirit cross over or some things like this, we'll get pumped off, we'll have issues with our, you know, like my phone when I got, after I was on the phone with you, Robin, today, my phone shut off and it wouldn't turn back on. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to use it for this show tonight. And here we are, you know, you're having issues with your throat. And before I came on, I was talking to Mara, and I was talking to Marilyn Monroe, and Mara, she came in, and she was holding her hand over her mouth, and she was crying because she said that she was going to have family members here today, and she was excited about that, but also fearful about how they were going to react to our, you know, talking to her and then talking to them and talking to her and talking to them. And so, you know, and then Marilyn Monroe cut us off before we got too deep, and she says, Matthew, you better go charge your phone. And I was in meditation, and I came out, and I looked at my phone, and sure enough, it was almost battery was low. So I was surprised about that, you know, that she corrected me on that, and that they're coming in more influential, more, you know, in that energy. So what I want to do right now is that for all of you who are listening here today with us, we're asking you just to have an open mind, you know, and try to just really pull back your energy. Because when you're forcing something to happen, or you're trying to move, you're trying to really feel in what we're doing here, we're just helpers, you know. We're just in service. You know, we're here to really assist people into having a better connection with loved ones who cross over. So I just ask you to pull your energy back and really be in your heart, be in yourself, you know. But this isn't a dog and pony show. We're not here to show off. We're here to really make a difference. And you know, and it takes all of us. And it's not just me. It's not just Robin. It's just not Wendy. It's all of it. It takes all of us to make this happen, you know. And so what I'm going to ask right now, I'm going to ask the Creator. I'm going to just make a prayer for all of us here today listening, including the spirits that are here. And I'm just going to ask, O great white light spirit, whose voice we hear in the wind, whose breath-giving life is for on the world and creation. We come before you, one of your many children out of so many lifetimes. We are with misunderstanding and sometimes weak of heart. We need your wisdom, your strength, and your knowledge. Let us walk in your beauty with understanding in our hearts. Make our eyes every behold your red, orange, gold, and purple sunsets. Make our hands respect the things you have made. Make our ears sharp to hear your voice. Let us speak with wisdom with your voice from within. Teach us the things you have taught others, the lessons hidden in a rock or in a leaf. We need your strength of divine love, and not to be superior to our fellow man or to nature, but to be able to fight our greatest enemies, ourselves. Let us ever come to you with straight open eyes and a clean, clear heart, body, mind, and soul, spirit. For when our lives fade as the fading sun sets each day, our spirits may come to you without shame. And that prayer comes from a native man. His name was Yellow Lark. So I memorized that. So I just want to ask the spirits, Master Cthulhu, Dwal Kul, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, Archangel Michael, Uriel, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Radical, Jovial, Amoria, Saint Germain, Ashtar, Serapis, Vane, Master Hilarion, Jesus Christ, Buddha, to come in and to bless all the people here listening here today, and to open our hearts and to help us to have a reassurance that, you know, that everything in this world is a mystery, that we're here as students on this planet. We're here to learn, to keep ourselves teachable, and allow us to just be transparent enough to where we can look at both sides of the situation and not judge the first presentation thing we see, and to be really, really learn to be kind to ourselves. And by being kind to ourselves, we get to change our world and our perceptions. So we ask for a blessing upon all the people here today listening to this radio show and the ones that listen to this radio show in the future. And we ask that you bless all those spirits who are trying to cross over and are stuck between this world because of feeling of unfinished business, or the feeling that they want to get some kind of knowledge across, or they feel unjustified and they want justice. And that's where we come in, Creator. And we ask you to fill our hearts and our minds with love and to be able to keep us open and unattached so we can do this work that you have provided for us to do. So let it be. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Robin, how are you doing? Doing better?
I'm doing better, and I do want to let, there's a lot of spirits trying to come through, and this is an opportunity for Mora. We set out that during these first parts of our Paranormal Ascension shows, we were working with Mora Murray, and we set up that if anyone had information about her, anyone needed to process an experience they've had with her, whether it was a friend or a family member. This show isn't just about solving a cold case, which obviously we would love to do for these spirits who have crossed. We also want to honor the experience of whatever is going on. So we do anticipate there will be some people who will be calling up and sharing stories about what they experienced with Mora. And, for example, last week, during the show, we discovered that there's a listener, Wendy, who had an experience, and we offered to be of assistance to her during this show because we want people to understand, as I just experienced nearly choking, that these spirits have a force field. I mean, we have to be really strong, really balanced, really centered, and know what is our frequency and what is someone else's. And especially when you're sensitive or an empath, the energy can kind of leak through. And so you do have to be very definitive and have boundaries, be very compassionate, and that's what we're here to do. And hopefully we will get some information to the police and they can help resolve the situation too. Starting on next week's show, we have a different direction we're going in. Jack Kenna, who works with two shows on Destination America. One is Paranormal Survivor, and the other is Haunted Case Files. He's going to come on and be working with Matthew around some of those. But today, we're here to focus with Mora. So I believe what we were going to do, Matthew, was take a question from Wendy and then see what other listeners may have something to say about Mora.
Yeah, I've been trying to get her on, but every time I go to her mic, it's really crackly. So I don't know what that is. Wendy, you might have to call back in and see if we can try a different line for you. Because like Robin said, you know, this is the energy that comes in is heavy duty. So it's really imperative to, before you come on, is to, even if you have to just save yourself off a little bit and to really fortify your field and really make sure that you're coming in clear and clean. Even if you have issues, even if he wants to help you clear you, to come in with that intention. And that way, you know, we can help you to do that. So, Wendy, I'm going to go ahead and turn on your mic and see how it sounds now. Oh, that's much better.
Matthew?
Wendy, you're on the air. Yes. Beautiful.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I feel like I have something to clear, perhaps as a surrogate healing around serial killers, because I'm very surprised to learn that it appears perhaps 50% of the world's serial killers are within a 200-mile radius of Seattle. And I just was very triggered last week when you were mentioning Elizabeth Smart and then Elizabeth Short.
Well, that's an interesting statistic. So, Matthew, are you receiving how to work with clearing that energy?
Yeah, I'm helping because there's still that crackling that just came back.
I'm hearing that also.
Well, I'm going to just go ahead and do that then. Wendy, do I have your permission to connect to High Self?
Yes, please.
Okay. So in your crown chakra, there's a lot of red light coming out of your crown, which depicts a feeling or a trigger or the way you reacted to something that had happened to you and just this prior when we were working with this energy last week. And what this is that there is it's like a ring around your connection. Between your third eye and that bone behind your head, that is the energy that you receive, like you're channeling or how, you know, when you're channeling, or you're bringing in energy through you. Sometimes it's like you have filters in there, you know. And a lot of times when we're first time channeling or we're channeling and we don't always feel that connection when we're channeling. There's these filters inside between your third eye and that bone in the back of your head, that between that point A and point B, it has to travel down to that place where you feel it in your body. If it feels like this is the spirit that you want to resonate with, or they're carrying the energy that you truly need for yourself or that other person. And so inside you, there's like this energy mechanism that is like almost a quarter to the end of that line from your forehead down to the back of your head. There's right before it ignites that awareness, there's a block in there. And so what happens is that block holds on to trauma that happened way in the past. You know, it could have been this lifetime or a prior previous life that you reacted or was in battle with the energy of murder. And so we're going to go back in time. I'm just going to ask Archangel Michael to come in real quick. Yes, and he says that, you know, in your mind's eye, and he's rubbing your throat and he's rubbing your ears, and he says that you have faced a lot of blood and a lot of unjustified energies in your past. And he says it's really super important that you don't live in your head. He says you've got to live in your heart. When you live in your head and you're analyzing, or you're very analytical, or you're constantly thinking or justifying, and you're up there in your head, you know, there's a lot of old energies that can really profoundly change the way you perceive your world. And so all your triggers are just like sitting, you know, like on a silver platter right in front of you. So it's really important when you're in your heart, when you're in your body, when you're in your feeling and you're empathic, that the brain, that part, you know, when you separate yourself from, you know, when you're doing channeling work, you separate yourself from your physical body. You come into your light body. You separate yourself from the third dimension, and you come into fifth dimension. And what that means is that you get out of thinking and you get into feeling and you get charged in the energy of the masters, where your vibration and your frequency is much higher, where you can feel and discern what's true for you and what's not. And so he says you have a filter in here that doesn't tell you those things. It automatically shoots off the memories of this feeling of being murdered in your past. You know, all of us somehow, some way, you know, we've had some of these past lives where, I'm not saying that everyone has these, but, you know, you have, you know, I know I have. And this is not just about lessons. And so he's going to go in with El Moria. And El Moria is, he's wearing a fashionable pink and purple turban, which is kind of funny to me because he doesn't come like with turbans, but I guess because we're on the radio, he decided to dress up. So anyways, El Moria is coming in, and he's putting his hand around that filter. And what he's doing is that he says it's not so much that the filter is causing this. He says that your connection from your psyche to your clairvoyant is crimped. So you're not getting the full information about what that is. You were witness to a murder, and not so much, he says, that you were murdered. You were witness to that. And so you felt it necessary for you to put yourself in that person's shoes to find out why and who and the reason behind this. And so there's this huge, like there's a big part of yourself, and he says, not your physical body, but your mental body got really profoundly imprinted by this energy, by this experience. So he's going to open up. I can feel that already. He's already opening that up inside your, you know, right behind your head there, in the back of your head, and he's opening that up to a really beautiful turquoise, electric blue and light blue energy in there, and he's moving the energy back, and so he's going to clear that energy because it's like a shadow behind you. The shadow behind you is the part of yourself that reacted to the energy that came in that caused you to have this feeling. And it's not something, it's like an imprint. It's just a shadow. It's not real. You know, it's just an illusional feeling, a memory that you had of that lifetime. How does that feel? Does that feel like it's releasing?
Yes, that makes great sense, because I was feeling triggered on multiple levels of witness, being a witness, being a victim. We just all have to realize we've been in every role, and there's no judgment.
Well, I think too, Wendy, where when we are looking at these situations as psychic mediums, we're witnessing it again, because we're trying to see what happened to help resolve the situation and assist people. And this also reminds me, Matthew, you and I had talked about setting up a grid before we got on the show, and I don't know if you did that, but I certainly didn't do that. And I don't know if that's something that we could do before we start taking some more calls, too.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that either. I had
okay.
visitors. I had the cookie fairy came over a little while ago and dropped off a bunch of Christmas cookies, which I really don't need, really. But I accepted them graciously because I'm just that way and I love sugar. But that was the dogs barking earlier. Let me just really quick finish up with Wendy real quick and
okay.
finish her. And so
and then,
what we're doing right now is that we're taking off the familial paradigm. And again, you know, there's a lot of words that I say, you know. By the way, if you want to get hold of me, my email is bearmedicinemassage@gmail.com, B-E-A-R, medicinemassage@gmail.com. And if there's anything you hear on the radio that you don't quite understand when we're talking about, you know, paradigms or familial paradigms or the fifth dimension or the, you know, whatever we say that kind of throws you off a little bit, if you have questions, please don't hesitate. You know, write me, ask me these questions, and I can give you full information. Because as we're working with the masters, you know, they're very, very, poetically pristine and very, very, they like to take care of business. And so sometimes I'll use words that announces like big movement in a specific area, not just staying in too much detail, because it takes forever that way. So we like to take big things out of, you know, all at once so people don't have to suffer. So what they're doing is El Moria is saying he's holding his hand behind your head and he's using the Star of David to come into your crown chakra. And the Star of David is what we use to dissolve conflicts in people, distant healing or close healing or just like massage. And so hands-on. And so he's bringing in the Star of David and he's rupturing this phenomena that you have in the back of your head that's causing you to have, like, it's so crimped. It's like you're just, this lifetime, you're just starting to open up to all your gifts and all your energies that is coming into your body. So he's opening up that part, and I can feel it. I can smell that. And it smells like, mm-hmm. like a little bit of fear. Like, you know, is this the right path? Is this the right way I'm going, supposed to be going? And so, you know, how we react to certain circumstances really depends upon how much knowledge we have or how much confidence or courage we have. The more courage and confidence we have in what we are and who we are, you know, it won't affect us. If we get triggered, okay, we get triggered. All right, now let's let it go. Let's move it forward. I understand why that came, and, you know, you work on yourself. But when you're just opening up and you're brand new to some of this work, you know, it's easy to get and feel like you're, you know, being pushed down into the bottom of the ocean with a block of cement pulling you down. So, you know, once you become lighter, you have more understanding, and the more experiences you have, you'll be able to get through this a lot faster. So this is El Moria, and he's speaking to you that way, and he's pulling out the rest of that energy, and he's just rubbing his hand down the back of your heart, and he says, okay, that should start feeling better now. How does that feel?
I've had my hand over my heart the whole time, and
okay.
I'm hearing everything you're saying, and I've worked to be in my heart space these last few years, but I'm still not feeling that dissolved. To be out of the head and be into the heart. I understand.
We need to get you a bowling ball necklace, so it just hangs over your heart. All this weight there.
Bring the energy down.
And we're gonna have to make pictures, stay in your heart, and put them all in your house so you can see it every day as you walk around. Robin, can you help her out with this?
Well, a couple of things are showing up, Wendy. One
okay.
is that. You know, you mentioned that there are more serial killers around the Seattle area in that 200-mile radius than any place else, I think you said, in the States. That's not your – well, why don't you look at that and see if you incarnated there either because you wanted to stop that sort of thing from happening, or if you're just entangled in it because you were involved in things you're involved in a past life in Hollywood. So my feeling is that no matter which way it went, whether you consciously intended to do that or it unconsciously happened, that you may want to renegotiate that being such an imprint around you, because that's really not your job to fix it. My sense is that you may have been attracted there energetically because of your past lives in Hollywood, but also because when we're triggered with post-traumatic stress syndrome, which clearly you would have had in the situation you've had in past lives, you can bring that over into a present lifetime. And then I call it post-traumatic soul disorder. And so if you're really in that post-traumatic stress disorder frequency, you tend to really be very vigilant, very, very, you know, burning the flames of your brain, trying to make sure everything's okay. And that is a very fearful reptilian energy that's stuck in the body. And so the only way for any of us to stop the mayhem is to change our consciousness, which I know you know that, Wendy. But when we are vibrating in the fourth dimension and we're so in our heads and we're stuck in, you know, PTSD or whatever the storyline is, we are in a place where we're actually not going to be safe. The only way to move into true safety is to move into the fifth dimensional consciousness, where it can cause no harm to us or anyone else. And that's actually something Maura brought up last week, and she's been talking to me about it all week, that the more of us who are raising our consciousness, who are coming from our heart, who understand that, you know, when we're in the fifth dimension, we create resolution through harmony instead of in the fourth dimension where resolution gets created through conflict. So what she was saying, what she was teaching us actually, is that the more of us who join together in these higher states of consciousness, the more it is likely that not only we will feel better, but also those like her who are on the other side will be lifted up and things will be resolved, because a lot of the energy that was blocking, you know, finding out the truth will just start to be evaporated, and then everything starts opening up, and then wherever she or anyone else is stuck, they can begin to lift up. And as I speak these words, I can see the energy of the listeners are starting to move into a kind of a higher state of awareness. And I think the words, too, Maura is saying that the words that I spoke registered to some other listeners. So when Wendy speaks about being a surrogate healer, meaning that what she brings up can also help heal other people, Maura is saying that that is true. And Maura says she's really excited. She does feel like there's some people on the call who have some, on the show, who have some familiarity with her. So I just want to acknowledge that, like Matthew did a little bit earlier, that I also can see Maura like that. So, Wendy, was that helpful to you at all?
Yes, this is just really surprising to me to have bounced back into 4D in this manner, but I'm very appreciative of the help that you both offered, and I just to process it, but with my heart.
Well, and I also think, Wendy, that this just may be that these types of calls aren't your calling, that you're all about focusing your energy and your life purpose on getting us all out of the warring universe and into the divine feminine frequency, the fifth dimension, whatever we want to call it. So perhaps,
yes,
you know, that's what this is about. And I
yes.
think you probably...
And that I had realized, yes.
Okay. And so I think you're a very important listener, because other people may listen and decide that this isn't for them either, but it will help, you know, get them on their trajectory of how they can be of service. So, Wendy, thank you so much for your call. It was extremely helpful, and I'm sorry you were traumatized, but I think it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't something that was a pocket in you that you needed to love up. So I'm glad.
Oh,
that...
I'm very appreciative. Thank you both.
You're so welcome. Take care. Okay. So, Matthew, how are you doing? And are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm talking to the people in the chat room.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So do we have some other people who want to ask some questions, or do we need to continue talking about things?
Well, no. If there is anybody out there, what you would do is that you pushed one if you want to talk to us, and it shows a little hand that goes up. So if you want and ask any of us, Robin and I, or both of us a question in regards to what we're talking to, you press one on your phone, and the hand comes up, and we'll be able to see you with your hand up, and then we'll bring you on the air with us. But for right now, there's no one else who's asking any questions.
Okay.
I was just really surprised of all the calls here. We got Washington, we got South Carolina, we got North Carolina, and we got Seattle. So it's kind of cool to see just where we're reaching out to. I just wanted to say, and I wanted to just acknowledge a little boy that I worked on last night. And, and this is something that is affecting all our kids. And this is super important for me because when we're in ceremony, we really pray hard for our children because they are the future, you know, for all of us to take care of. And so Jack, you know, this little boy came in to see me last night, and I drove, 4 hours to see me, and we worked on him, you know, because he can't sleep. He has dreams about spirits, and, and we were able to help him. I got a text a little while ago from his mother, Robin, to tell me thank you that he was able to sleep last night. He's laughing and playing outside, and I was blown away because I had a really hard time focusing on him, and really I was straining myself because I wanted to help him so bad. And I think I stretched myself out a little bit, and I've just been praying for this young boy because he's so important to our planet. And so, you know, there's a lot of kids who are coming in the world right now who have these beautiful gifts, but if we don't really listen to them, to what their dreams are and what their imaginations are, and we just kind of focus on what we want them to do, then they're not going to be the people. They're not going to be the people that they were created to be on this planet. They're going to be exactly what we want them to be, rather than what their gift is for us. So mm-hmm. I'm just putting that out there right now because Jack wholeheartedly came in. He's this young boy. He's 9 years old, psychic. You know, very, very empathic, very loving. He wanted to just my dog, Rooster, just ate him up, you know, just licked him, and it was fun to watch him do that. But I just want to say thank you, Creator, for sending me that message and letting me know that he was doing much better. So I just want to say
beautiful.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yes, and if there's any parents listening to this, Matthew is a wonderful one-on-one practitioner, and he's running a special right now until December 24th, midnight, where he's offering $55 off. It's an incredible opportunity to be with Matthew and learn things for yourself and your children. He and I also are offering a class starting February 2nd, 2017. That's a Thursday night, and it runs for 8 consecutive weeks from 6:30 p.m. Pacific Coast time until it ends, whenever that is. Sometimes it's up to 2 hours. And it's a wonderful opportunity to learn to manage your own energy and teach the next generation how to manage their own, to really, you know, be like Matthew was just saying, be truly expressive. And I'm also encouraging people, if you want to take advantage of that special with Matthew, my husband Bob is the one who books our appointments, especially if it's a special. You don't just go online, you call Bob. And that number is 530-859-2499 to have a one-on-one with Matthew. And as you just heard, he works well with children, which is just beautiful. The special that we're running for the class, you do have to go online. You go to robinalexis.com and go in the Mystic Store, and you'll find the link for Mystic Radio Institute Level 1, and you can sign up for the class there. And I'm being guided to go back to Maura again, and I can see she's a little bit more smiley than she was before. And I understand, too, that I feel that anyway, that what she's saying to me is that part of her was crying and some of her had her hand over her mouth because she thought there were some folks from New Hampshire who knew her, who had told me actually that they were going to call into the show today. And it sounds like if they're not calling from New Hampshire or Vermont, then they actually didn't call in. So I think she was happy that we offered for them and then sad that they didn't actually show up to speak with her. And so, and she says, yeah, she's confirming that with me now. She's saying that it's very difficult when you're on the other side, especially if you've disappeared or been murdered, for people to be willing to, as a medium, a psychic medium, to talk with them because of the very types of things that came up with Wendy. You know, it's very, it can really be very triggering for people on a lot of levels. And like Matthew was talking about, even when he worked with this boy, Jack, you know, we as practitioners, sometimes we have to really stretch ourselves to even be able to use our gift. And that's what Maura is acknowledging with Matthew and I in terms of her. And she says, you know, that these people, she really thought they were going to come and they didn't, and that it does. It makes it hard for her to be able to communicate in whether it's to the police, to us, her family, her friends, whatever it was, you know, that that's, she does feel a bit like a forgotten or soul color that one would reject. She says, like, you know, humans, especially now after the election, there's a lot of acceleration of bullying activity based on, for example, the color of your skin. And this is Maura talking. Maura is talking about how she watches like Asian women or black women like moving about the United States the same way they used to, but now people are confronting them or being aggressive towards them who weren't before. Excuse me. And she says that's very traumatic to her because she says that in the days when she was murdered, which wasn't that long ago, it's gotten so much worse with the aggressive behavior, and she feels like that aggressive behavior is just going to lead to more aggressive behavior, and it makes her concerned not only for the dark serial killer who, you know, sneaks around and does it the way they do it, but she says now it's so out in the open, this aggressive behavior, and she's deeply concerned about it. And she says that, you know, people think that once you die, you may not notice what's going on or watch what's going on with politics, but she says she's deeply involved from her position, and she sees, as I can feel Marilyn coming back in again, you know, they both see the impact of what's going on in today's world that they're not, you know, physically part of, or maybe a part of them is physical, whatever, but these parts of them that are known as Marilyn and Maura certainly are very aware of the kind of overall view of what is going on. So is there anything you'd like to say, Matthew? Because I'll keep talking unless you're feeling guided to say something.
No, it's all good. I'm contacting Marilyn, and I'm talking with them both, and I'm asking if there's, because you and I, you know, we work really, really differently, and you have a connection with them that I don't have, and I have a connection, and we all have our own, you know, connections with spirits in our own, you know, sovereign way. And so I was in there just talking with Marilyn Monroe, and she was telling me what you say is true. Is that, you know, right now in the world, there is a havoc of energy that's coming over the planet about making things unsafe. And it's really sad, she says, to put it on the our world leaders, but that's where we put our faith. Those people in those prestigious standpoint, she says, really makes a difference. When they say things to us about the world and how we treat one another, you know, it makes it okay for the things that we learn from our very own parents. She's holding her heart. And she says, from our own parents, they taught us to love one another. They taught us to be kind to one another, regardless of race, sexual, creed, you know, wherever we come from, whatever religious background we come from. We were taught to love one another. And here we are in this planet full of bliss with waters and fresh waters and beautiful paradise islands like Hawaii and all these beautiful places that we can go and learn from our history by going and visiting to these places. And here we are stuck in this world of third-dimensional thinking, which is just about, you know, we need to have this, or we need to have power, we need to have money, we need to have status, we need to think like them, because if we don't think like them, then we end up in the lower class, and then lower class are bad people. And so we're stuck in a paradigm right now as people trying to reteach ourselves about how we want to live. And sometimes the spirits and the spirit world and heaven itself has to come down very close to the planet and make people disappear sooner than they are been asked to disappear, because we have to learn to teach one another about what it is to be thankful. Sometimes in the energy of gratitude, we start to recognize what really matters on this planet. And so we're subdued by this feeling. We're choked, you know, and we're being filled with fear by these world leaders. And so it's going to take every single one of you, she's pointing her fingers up to the audience, it's going to take every single one of you to really contradict that new ruling and to be able to stand forth and stand up for yourself and stand up, says no, and demand that this is not the way I want to live. This is not the way I want to be taught. This is not the way I'm going to teach my children to be. I want to walk a road that is filled with love and energy and friendships, not just friendships with people, but friendships across the land, friendships with the forest, with the canyons, with the rocks, with the oceans, with the rivers, with the family of animals, with our family of fish and the big mammals in the sea. We have to deny that old paradigm as to reteach ourselves to be open to the new community of energy that's coming in this planet. Because, my friends, there is much beauty coming into this planet. But if you don't have your eyes open to see these things, she says, your heart will start to close and you'll become more in the third dimensional world. And it will start to become very, very smoggy and full of dark energies. And you'll have trouble standing up for yourself then, because the world will feel too heavy. If you stand up now at this time and just announce that, go outside, look at the stars, look at the clouds, wherever you can look up and just demand that God show you a better life. Demand that God show you the path that you're supposed to be on. And I guarantee you, she says, that your Father, the Great Spirit, the Allah, Buddha, the energy of the light, source, the energy will touch your heart and be able to show you your truth and what you came into this planet for, your purpose and for the life that you're truly here to live. And so I say this with an open heart, and I say this with an open mind, and I say this because my heart is full. And I see all of you, and I see all of you struggling with some part of your life, and I don't want to see you struggle. Just like Maura here, she has the courage right now to stand forth and to be in her power, to stand forth and have the courage to come before Matthew and Robin, to be able to stand there in her vulnerability and speak from her place. And I'm here just as her guide to support her and to help her feel acknowledged, because a lot of us who cross over, we don't feel acknowledged. We get to leave this planet with love. Yes, we get to come into a place of new dawning, a new energy, a new feeling, a new family. That it sometimes when you leave this third world dimension, this other place, you come into this place, and sometimes the knowing of where you come from kind of dissolves. And you forget a lot about what the world was like, because now you're in this new world. And so the energy shifts and changes with you. So when you look back as if you were looking through a glass window into your world, you know, we see you suffering because you're not where we are. But where we are is your gift when you are ready. So Maura comes to you very, very humbly and very openly, and she just wants to say a few things, so I'm going to let her speak now. So Maura's coming forward. I just want to say that because I am who I am, and I'm standing here right now with Marilyn. She's nodding to her, acknowledging her. Because I'm standing here with Marilyn, I want you to know that my life was not a mistake. That when I was alive, I did as much as I could in the short period of time that I had. I didn't know that I was going to have a shorter life than expected. I expected to live as an old lady and to knit with yarn, as my grandma did, and I expected to make doilies for my grandchildren. I had all these plans. I had all these plans about going to school. I had all these plans in my mind, in my diary. I had all these things written down about what I wanted to do. I had all these dreams that I wanted to accomplish in my life. I had a feeling that something dark was following me, but I didn't know what it was. I tried to let it go. I tried to look in the mirror and tell myself every day that this day was going to be better than the next. And it was not known to me at the time that my life was cut short. And when I realized that, when I was crossing over, the only thing I can think about was my family. The only thing I can think about was how my father and my mother were going to react to my disappearance. And that's what drove me to come back and seek out Marilyn. And Marilyn gave me the opportunity to speak to both Matthew and Robin. So I'm here just because I want to show my part. I want to be able to help other women and other people who are damaged, other people who feel that they've been unserviced by your planet, by that life. I want to be able to bring justice and karma to those ones who need and deserve to see their karma. And I believe that in my heart and in my soul that when we come to the truth of these things together, we'll bring more people together to help one another. And it's my belief that when we bring people together as one another, as individuals, we will start to see the magic in each other's hearts. And we won't be afraid of each other any longer. That's all I have to say. Wow, so that was a lot, both from Marilyn and from Maura. Do you want to validate that, Robin?
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful, Matthew. And I want to say a little bit more about how Marilyn and Maura are working together in the inner plane, and then through the communication with Matthew and I. Marilyn Monroe has been communicating through me since 1998, and it wasn't until this fall that she said she had three legacies that she wanted honored. So I've actually created for her a Facebook page that I now call The Legacy of Marilyn Monroe. One of those legacies was she wanted to help open cold cases because she said that here she is, this incredibly world-famous woman, and she can't get her cold case opened. And so she wanted to help spirits like Maura who were willing to stand up and walk by her side and her by their side to bring us the attention that these things are going on, that there is life beyond when we drop our bodies, and that for us to think about that, you know, what is our legacy? What are we going to do when we're on the other side, however we got there? Are we going to be like Maura? Are we going to be like Marilyn? You know, what is our story going to be? You know, it's just a lot to really open it up about when you're thinking in terms of paranormal ascension. In Marilyn, she had wanted to speak to Wendy directly, and actually I can hear her again. She's saying to Wendy, it wasn't your fault, it's not your fault, and it will continue to be not your fault. You've done everything you could do in this lifetime and many, many others to lift the consciousness, to lift the veil. And Marilyn says to you, Wendy, for you to not let the energy get to you, not from this lifetime, not from the lifetime when you knew her, not from your lifetime way back during the time of Christ and before that, to just continue to allow yourself, and she says that word again, allow yourself to be in your heart and know that that is simply enough. And now she's doing what she did with Matthew. She's pointing her fingers out to everybody listening, and she's saying for all of us to keep it simple, to just be in our hearts. And she's turning to you, Matthew, and she's saying, Matthew, is there any words of wisdom that you could give to people about what it means or how they can simply be in their hearts?
Well, yes. We were talking about it today, was to get in touch with your inner child, because the inner child is all about heart. Kids don't think when they're that young, between the ages of 1 and 7. They want to play all the time. They want to be out in the world. They want to be out with the butterflies, you know. And they want to be out, you know, with their other friends, making believe, or shopping with these plastic carts and picking up, you know, things off the floor, or, you know, do a shopping list. They want to be busy. They want to be in routine. You know, they want to have a good time. And they will say the first things that they say, and they won't have filters. But that's what's so great about children, you know. And I believe that when we get in touch with an inner child, our inner selves, you know, because for us, you know, children are the closest thing that we have to God, because we believe that God is a child. And so the children inside of us hold the magic. And I remember that when I first started working with my inner child, you know, his name is Jacob. I was trying to make him like Shazam or Adam, or, you know, a name that I wanted when I was a kid, Johnny. He said, no, my name's Jacob. And he told me that Jacob was not only the master of the universe, but he was also the tamer of lions. So he told me a lot of stories about things that he loves, but it also reminded me of my childhood. It also triggered me about things that I never thought about, you know, after, you know, being, you know, in my 40s, and then thinking back to when I was 5. I mean, there's like little pictures here and there that I can barely make out, you know. And he brought them up to the surface in me, which brought back all this joy and magic of my first train, my first big wheel, you know, all this stuff that I remember, songs, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival, when I was getting ready to go to kindergarten, we heard a woman in a black dress. And every time that song comes on, man, I think about the first day of going to school, you know. And so there's all these things that he brought up that really brought me back out of my mind and back into my heart of the magic of being alive, being a child, and really just having every day as being a new discovery. And I feel that the first thing that when I was working with this lady who helped me get in touch with my inner child, she honored us. The first time that I worked with Jacob, you know, I was trying to tell him what to say to me. And so she made me write a letter. And this is something you can do, Wendy, and anyone else who wants to get in touch with their inner child, is to contact your inner child and pray with him, just, or him and her, and just sit there and say, I'd like to contact my inner child. And so what you would do is that you would ask your inner child to write you a letter. And how you would do this is that you would write with the opposite hand that you would write. And you let your inner child write down a letter to you. And a lot of people, you're going to find that this is a very emotional thing, because, you know, you're going to want to correct the spelling, and you're going to want to don't do that. Don't try to be, you know, Mr. Professional, teacher, parent, and try to correct everything that the child is doing. You know, when you go to the movie theater and they want to sit in the front seat of the movie theater, you better sit there, you know. And so even though you're going to get a crink in your neck, that's where the kids want to sit, you know. And so they don't think. And the lady who I worked with, and I was trying to tell Jacob, you know, how to do things, he says, Dad, I said, what? So he ran up to the top of my head, he unzipped my brain, he ripped out my brain, stomped on it, and then he took my heart out of my chest and put it in my head and zipped up my head. He said, there, think with your heart, Dad. And I was just like, whoa. And then the two lady who was guiding me, she goes, I'd like to put that in my book. I said, okay. So, you know, the inner child, if that's, you know, and Robin today, I worked on her husband, massaged her husband, and we talked to his inner child, and she told me that he looked, you know, 10 years younger. And so it was just very true, because when you get into that place where you meet your kid again, your inner you, you know, they're you, but they're not you. They're a part of God, which you're still learning to discover. And so when you discover your inner child, it's a very magical thing. And it's a very powerful thing, because you're not thinking about your money. You're not thinking about your job. You're not thinking about your life. You're thinking about your love for yourself and how you love yourself and how you take care of yourself. Because how you take care of yourself is how you're going to take care of your life. And it's how you're going to help to take care of other people. So the inner child is something that I think that a lot of us would benefit. So again, if you want to meet your inner child, you would sit down, you light a candle, and you say, I'd like my inner child to write me a letter. And so you pull out a piece of paper, you know, you want to write with a crayon, or you want to write with lipstick, or you want to write with a regular pencil, you know, then fine, and just let them write down whatever they want. Maybe they'll draw you a picture, but like again, I said, don't correct them. Let them make every spelling error they could possibly make. They'll probably test you about that if you overthink. So just let it happen and just read about what they tell you, and I guarantee you it'll change your life and it'll help you stay in your heart.
That's beautiful, Matthew. Wow, I really, really, really like that. I'm going to do that. And I do want to say that Matthew and I both, this is really cool, we're both going to be co-hosting the Mystic Radio Show this Wednesday, the 14th, and the following Wednesday, the 21st of December. Now, that is noon Pacific Coast time and 3 p.m. East Coast time. So when you call in, you can get feedback from both Matthew and I about whatever it is that you choose to call us up about. And it's just, it's a beautiful opportunity when people allow for us to be of service to them, whether they're deceased, as Maura and Marilyn are, or whether you're still with us. So, you know, give us a call and let's see how we can serve you. And if you want more detail on that, you can go to robinalexis.com. Right on the homepage, there's a mic, and you just hit that mic at noon Pacific Coast time on Wednesday, both this week and next week, and you can listen to us live. And we'll take your calls, and the phone number for that is also on that website. And I want to say again, if you want to take the Mystic Radio Institute Level 1 class, Matthew and I are offering that until the end of the year at a $150 discount. And you can go to, again, robinalexis.com, go in the Mystic store, find the Mystic Radio Institute link, and you can sign up for the class, or if you want private sessions with Matthew, he's running a special on that. You can call Bob, 530-859-2499, 530-859-2499, and get some private sessions with Matthew. And I also recommend his series, his Cosmic Coaching Series. So why don't you try him out for a session? If you love him the way I do, then you might want to also take advantage of learning from him in private sessions.
Thank you, Robin. So, thank you for that.
I just love you, Matthew, and you've really changed my life for the better. And I want other people to feel that way, too. I am seeing Maura and Marilyn holding hands. They're swinging their hands, and they just want us to know that they're happy where they are. They would love to have their situations resolved because it would mean that the energy is getting lighter and lighter and lighter on the planet. So let's not forget them. If other people in other shows want to talk to us about Maura, she will pop in and out. And, of course, Marilyn's with us in every show. And then next week is a very special guest, Jack Kenna. He is involved with the production of two shows on Destination America. One is Paranormal Survivor, and the other is Haunted Case File. He's going to be working with Matthew. I'm going to hold space. He's going to work with Matthew around resolving some situations that he has. And I will be in the Soul Spa after the show for Sunday Soul Spa time. If anybody wants to chat about this show in the Soul Spa on the website, robinalexis.com. And Matthew, is there anything else that you wanted to share too?
Well, I'm excited about next week because Haunted Case Files is something that, you know, I love, you know, dark, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, I live between worlds. You know, my world is different from a lot of other people's worlds. Most of my friends that I grew up with are all married. They have kids. All their kids are in college. They're going to be grandparents. And I'm still, you know, a single man. I'm still, you know, I got my own house. I live in Mount Shasta. And, you know, and my focus is on healing constantly, not only with my hands, but with children and with people and classes. And wow, what a remarkable life. You know, I would have never, ever thought that I would end up here, you know, with this kind of set of healing tools that I carry and the energy of teaching people and then going back to South Dakota next year and sun dancing again and meeting up with the medicine people and working with them, and you know, and they're so traditional. I love their tradition. They show so much love and compassion, and it's crazy because it's like a diamond in the rough. You know, you go to Rosebud or you go to Pine Ridge, you know, in South Dakota, and it's a very, very, you know, poor looking area, you know, but the people are just magically super nice and compassionate and funny. It's just, you know, and I just kind of have that feeling like I want to be able to have that here with all of us. And I'm going to share just a quick story with you. You know, a couple of days ago on Friday, I woke up in the morning and I was excited because my little sister, her son Zion was turning six, and his name is Zion, Z-Y-A-N, crazy. Anyways, he was turning six yesterday, and I got to go out and get him a birthday gift, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and she said that she was having a hard time, and I called her up and said, well, let's talk, you know, what do you need from me? And she says, no, I just want to know I'm at a pivotal point and this and this. And then I found myself talking about myself for the next half hour about all my accomplishments. And then we hung up, and I hung up going, what did I do that for? She called me to talk to me. Oh, my gosh, how selfish. So I called her back, and I said, hey, I apologize. She goes, for what? And I said, because I called you for you, and then I ended up talking about myself for a half hour. What kind of friend does that? You know, I am so sorry. I'm just, you know, right now I'm in a weird space, but I just want to apologize and say that you are important to me as my friend, and I want to appreciate you. And she started crying on the phone, and I didn't expect that. It wasn't something I meant to do. I just meant to clear my side street and become humble. And so I left feeling kind of charged by that. And then when I went outside, it felt like the sky, not because of what I did, just because that day was sort of smiling at me. And so I went to our great mall up here in Northern California, which is basically a Walmart. And so I went up there, and I was smiling at everybody. And the guy, there was no baskets. So the first basket that came along, I saw this woman with her purse and a bottle of water and a Snickers. And I said, "Do you need a basket?" She says, "Yeah." And then I gave her mine. And I walked in, and then I got, you know, I waited for another basket. And I said, "All right, here comes." And I saw this another little older lady. And I said, "Do you need a basket?" She goes, "Yeah." So I gave it to her. And I go, oh, I guess I'm just going to have to use my arms here. And so finally, the guy was pushing the baskets across the street. And I said, oh, let me help you out. You know, let me lighten your load. And he says, go ahead. Everybody else has. So I took a basket. I went inside. And the first person I saw was my neighbor, Bill Buffalo. Hey, Matthew. And I said, hey, Bill, how are you, my friend? It's great to see you. And shook his hand. And I was feeling really good at that point, you know. And so I went in, and I saw this woman. She was wearing this beautiful macrame gown. Or a dress, and I said, oh, my God, that's beautiful. Did you make that? And she's like, no, I wish. And I could see her face turning red. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm really causing effect here today. People are just blown away by me. I'm just inspired, and I'm going out and, you know, changing everything. And, you know, and there was kids crying and people arguing, and I told a joke to one of the tellers, and she was laughing. She goes, that's really inappropriate, but that's funny. I said, yeah, thanks. So I kept going. And then on my way out, you know, I was feeling pretty good, and I got him a fishing pole and, you know, for the six-year-old, and it was R2-D2, the Star Wars character, a fishing pole, and so I could take him out in my boat next year. And so I'm coming out of that store, and there's a guy out there playing a guitar, and he's standing there, and he looks pretty rough, you know, pretty roughed up by life, and you can smell him pretty far, like 10 feet away you can smell him, and he's picking up cigarette buds, and, you know, and he's smoking them, and he's playing his guitar, and he's asking, and I could tell he's having a hard time. And I'm looking at people. I'm kind of watching, looking around, looking at people, and people are judging him, you know, like, ooh, you know, what are you doing, you know, what are you doing here? And another guy next to him, he looked like he was on drugs. And so I was like, wow, how do I change this, Archangel Michael? What do I do? And he says, well, I believe you have a little cash in your wallet. I said, you're right. I do, don't I? So I get in my truck, put all my stuff in there, and he was in the front where, you know, everybody is walking back and forth, and it's really busy there. And so I just said, you know, I'm going to be invisible. I'm going to take my ancestors with me. I'm going to take all the angels with me. I'm taking all the masters with me. I'm going to take my grandfather with me, and we're going to go up there, and we're going to be incognito, and we're going to just drive up in the middle of all those minnows that are crossing the street there, and we're going to just shout out to him so everyone knows what we're doing. And I said, isn't that dangerous? My grandfather says, no, of course not. It's going to wake people up. I said, okay. So we drive my truck, and I'm playing powwow music really, really loud. So I turn it down, and I said, hey, come here. And he looked at me and got shocked, like, me? I said, yeah, come on over. And then I handed him a bill. And he looked at me like, really? I said, yeah. And I said, hey, brother, have a good day. And he just, wow, his eyes lit up, and I could just see this smile, just like from a bird's beak to a long, clown smile. It was incredible, and just that connection that I made with him. It wasn't the money. It was because I called him over, and we shook hands, and we made a connection. Regardless if money was the thing that made him happier, but I felt because of that connection that's what we need. We need to, now I'm not saying to go around and give everybody bills. I'm saying that, it's really important sometimes, especially this right now in Christmas, there are a lot of people who are suffering, and they don't talk about it. But they fill up their trucks and they fill up their cars with items and things that we buy, materialistic things, to try to fill up that area in our lives that I feel sometimes that we're trying to compensate. We're trying to fill these things up so we feel better about ourselves, so we look better to everyone else. And I think that we're missing that human connection, just taking a chance, Because when I was shaking his hand, I looked around, and nobody was looking at us. It was like I wasn't even there. I was invisible. Just like my grandfather said, we're going to be incognito. But it was because him and I were able to have that moment that I get to tell you the story, and I get to feel good about that Friday, And I stood out that night, and I was talking to the stars, and I could just feel grandfather and the masters just really smiling at me. And then the whole weekend has been just like a very uplifting feeling. And then I get to come on the radio show today and talk to Maura and Mary Monroe. Who does that? Me. Because I'm not married and because I don't have kids. And I have a good life, so anyways, it's just, I'm not saying that that's a wrong thing or bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm in a place where I'm just, like to be by myself right now. And it's a really, really good feeling. So I just want to share that with you guys because, I believe that when we share stories like that, it inspires others to, do similar things. So thank you, Robin, for letting me speak.
That's beautiful, Matthew, because you're rejoicing. You're rejoicing in being your authentic self, living the life that serves you, which allows you to use your gifts. And as you were speaking, Maura said, that's my legacy. And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, acts of random kindness. Because, we talked about Marilyn Monroe has defined what her legacy is, and I'm going to explain what those are because Maura is asking me to. Marilyn Monroe asked for three legacies. One is that we would have an annual fundraiser on Veterans Day every year that honored the troops, and specifically to donate to OperationHomefront.net. Marilyn picked that because Operation Homefront buys homes for veterans and their families as well as other things. But Marilyn said she always wanted a home when she was a child, and she feels that it's still the American dream to own a home, and who but the veterans and their families ought to have one. So that was what Marilyn's first legacy was. The second thing is she asked to have a show that would be for every week for the pets. She says that most homes have a pet in them or had a pet at one time, and she was quite an animal lover. So I asked Dr. Nels with the Healing Animal Ministry if he would be willing to do that show once a week, because Marilyn asked him specifically through me if he would do it, and he said
that's
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So
yeah,
once a week,
awesome.
Dr. Nels does a show on Facebook Live Wednesdays at 1, and it's for healing pets. And then we put that on Marilyn's Facebook page, The Legacy of Marilyn Monroe. The third thing, as we said earlier in the show, is to do cold cases. And Matthew has a strong spirit and is open to being of service to even these darker things that the human race goes through. I prefer to hold the energy for Matthew. If I receive information, that's fine, but I would prefer to, just hold energy for him to do the work.
Right.
And so now Maura is saying, and now it's dawned on her, as Matthew was speaking, Matthew inspired Maura to define her legacy of her life. and it is for us all to do acts of random kindness. Maura says that genuine human connection, that when Matthew said that, that really touched her soul, because when she was in a crisis situation, a man came along to supposedly help her in a random act of kindness, and he was really a predator. So what Maura asks for us to do in her memory is to do more and more acts of random kindness as a genuine human connection. Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful. Yeah, I like that. So even in spirit world, they become inspired and still want to help us on this side. I love that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew, what do people do if they want to ask a question? They press one.
Well, I was just going to say that if you want to ask a question to Robin or I today about, you know, about what we're talking about Maura, about Marilyn Monroe, about spirits, please press one on your telephones, and then your hand will come up, and then we'll be able to see your little question mark that comes up. And we'll be able to get you on the air with us and speak with you and answer any questions that we, you know, could answer if we, you know, had the right words for what you're asking. I just wanted to really touch really quick on it's not that I'm, you know, I'm a demonic or dark energy seeker. It's just that I've been involved in a lot of different ceremonies where I'm not afraid of spirits. And I haven't been, you know, ever. And there are a lot of people out there who are intimidated by ghosts, by spirits, by entities, by demonic presence. And then the thing about it, about this teaching, is that once they're still in that realm where they can't move things, or maybe they can move things but not as much, it's like a few places that I've cleared. You know, the woman told me that she told me the glass on the floor, this. Her Pyrex glass pan went flying across the room, and it hit shattered, and it freaked her out, and she ran out, and she hasn't been ever since. And then she took me in there when there was glass everywhere, but that spirit was hiding from me upstairs. And one of the things that the Creator has given to me as a worker is that He's given me the light. And some of these spirits, when they see the light behind me, they instantly hide because they know that we're coming for them. But I also wanted to share something that a medicine man told me, that, you know, he said that, you know, everything was created by God. No matter what it is, it was created by the Creator. So if anything demonic or a negative, even witch, that was created by God. And somewhere in there, in that entity or that demon, doesn't matter where it comes from, was created by God. And so that energy that was created by God, it's like it can go back to that place. You can actually help a demon become the light again. And the thing about that is that when we see something scary or we don't understand something, we automatically want to just get rid of it. We don't want to even want to deal with it. But there's a let me just check the time real quick. We got about 17 more minutes. I'll just share with you quickly this story. You know, Robin, you don't mind if I tell you the story about this demonic entity that we helped to change?
No, go ahead and do that. And then Maura's asking you a question of either we could do today or another show. So, but go ahead with where you're headed.
Okay, so I wanted just because I think people have the wrong idea about paranormal investigators and paranormal, you know, ascension. And I feel that it's my passion to be able to help these spirits cross over, you know, regardless of where they are. You know, there's a place in Santa Cruz, California, called Brook Lodge Inn. Anyways, it's a place over in Ben Lomond. And Sylvia Brown went over there, and she contacted the spirits there, and she was going to help them go home. And the owners said, no, don't do that, because people come here because of the energy of those spirits, and we want to keep that attraction open. It's a moneymaker. And I was so profoundly disrespectful. I felt like they were kind of caging the spirits there because they wanted to make money off of their energy. And for me, I would have done it anyways. I would have got rid of them anyways and said, okay, yeah, they're still here. But then, you know, because it's not up to them. It's not up to us. You know, it's up to the spirits and how they want to ascend. We don't want to keep our relatives here. I want to see them grow and come back, you know, learn their lessons. So there was this woman on the internet a few years back, maybe about 4 years ago, and she posted a picture of her sister, and she had a demonic entity. It was an ugly little thing. It had pointy ears. It had a weird nose. It was smilingly ugly, just an ugly thing. And she caught it on camera, and she posted it all over Facebook. And she says, "Can someone help me?" And I was sitting there out, you know, I was out in Redding. It was like 90 degrees. I was sitting in the sunshine. It was nice. And it just came across to me. I was reading all the people that were putting their comments down, and, you know, and they were saying some rude things, you know, just like, "Oh, this is fake," "Oh, this is this," or "This is that." And I felt a nudge from Archangel Michael. You know, he's one of my colas. He's one of my brothers, one of my friends. You know, we've been in battles together in the past, and I think that's where a lot of my light comes from. And so he nudged me. He contacted her. So I said, "All right." So I contacted her, and I said, "Hey, this isn't about money. I'm not asking for anything for this, but I really want to help you." You know, and she said, "Oh, my God, will you?" And I said, "Yeah, call me." So she called me, and she told me she lived in upstate New York in this old 200-year-old home out in the country. So to go ahead and see what I saw. So I said, "Okay. So when's the last time you saw this demon?" And she says, "Well, just yesterday." And I said, "I just need to ask you this. Is your sister on drugs?" And she got really quiet and says, "Yes, she's on meth." I said, "Well, okay, so this is the thing. If I help you, you're going to have to get her into rehab, because if she's on drugs continuously, all she'll do is going to open herself up and she's going to draw this stuff back." I said, "So if you promise to do something for that, I can help you." And she says, "Oh, my God, yes, yes." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Let me give me your full name and let me know the city that you live in." And she said, she did. And I'm not going to disclose that on the radio, but I'll just tell you that it was upstate New York. And so when I went in there, I didn't go there myself. I sent the angels in for me. I sent them to recon. I sent Raphael, Gabriel, and Archangel Michael, and they went in. And they came back and they told me the story. You know, they did it for me. I didn't even have to do anything. They said, "This is not your work. This is our work." And so I went in there, what Archangel Michael told me was that he said that the land itself was a battleground where a lot of red coats and blue coats fought on this particular land. I said, "Reenactments?" He says, "No, the real thing. And there's a lot of bodies buried out here, that there were so many bodies out here that they just started burning bodies and taking the ash, and they used the ash for mortar and cement to build this house." I said,
"Wow.
That's disgusting." He says, "Absolutely it's disgusting, but that's why it leaves a portal open for these spirits to come in." And I said, "Okay, so what are we going to do about it?" He says, "Well, we already did it, and this is what I did." And I said, "Okay, what did you did?" And he says, "Well, I went there, and I noticed that there is a bunch of portals opened up. So 200 years ago, before this demon became a demon, it was a young man that died in the field of battle." And he said that he was so distraught, and he was so angry, and so lost, and so feeling disoriented, and you know, just like he wasn't meant, and he kept roaming the land looking for his mom, because that's the last thing he remembered, was his mama. And so when he couldn't find his mom, he grew angry, he grew scared. And so what happens is that when you're a spirit between worlds, Archangel Michael said, and you don't have a place, and you decide not to go to the light, for whatever reason, because you feel like you've lost something, but you can't remember what that is, you roam the lands, and you attract more negative spirits to you that makes you stronger in that negativity, therefore becoming demonic. And then I said, "Okay." And then I said, "So what is it? Who is the mother?" He says, "The mother was a medium." I said, "A medium?" He says, "A medium. She was a medium, and that's what she did for a living at this house, at the same house, but it was rebuilt 200 years ago. So, he said that the woman was so distraught about her son dying in the war, and she didn't get his body because there were so many bodies that, you know, they were just buried everywhere and burned and used the ashes for mortar in the house, that she started opening up all these portals to search for her son. She was a medium, so she opened up all these portals, but she didn't close these portals. So these people come into this house that was in their family for this amount of time, and he says that the woman who lives in this house is also a medium." And I said, "No way." He says, yeah, way. So I called up the lady and I said, so this is the story. And I told her the story. And when I said, are you a medium? And she says, yeah, how did you know? I said, well, Michael told me. And so I told her that story up to there, and then we stopped. And then I went back in with Michael, and he said, this is what I did. So he said that he cornered the demon, and he saw the little boy that was distraught. And a lot of our work that we do when we're clearing houses is that spirits, what they do is that when they want to go home but they don't know how, one of the main reasons they find the light is that you help them remember love. So when they remember love, the first thing they remember, when they remember love, the light takes them, you know. And so sometimes you've got to be very, very brilliant. And so what the angels will do, because this is a spirit, they'll make that spirit, however old they are, they'll make them young. So in that time frame, when they're at their age like that, they'll remember a time with their grandparents, or they'll remember a time, you know, when their mom was baking in the kitchen or something that they remember that brings back that feeling of love. And so Archangel Michael said that he had to corner this demon and take him back into time till he was a little boy so he can remember love. But he wouldn't stay at that age. He started growing up again to about 17 years old. And at 17 is when he was completely rebellious, and that's when he died at the war. And so Archangel Michael said he took out a sword and he pointed at the demon. He says, are you ready to come back to the light? And the demon said, yes, I'm ready. And he says, are you sure? And he says, yes. And then the demon starts to cry, you know, and he says, crying, just like humans, is a very magical, powerful thing. When a cry is about draining your emotions out of your tears, when it's a cleansing cry, and not a cry for help or a crying wolf or look at me or poor me. He says this was a true cry, which was the true magic of the light that existed inside this demon. So when he pointed the sword at this demon and the demon started to cry, he announced it across. When he told me this, my hair stood up because I can hear him saying these things. And he announced it to heaven, he announced it to earth, he announced it to Middle Earth, and he said, this demon is wanting to come back to light. I announce right now that he is coming back to light, and now he is a part of God's family. And then he's pointed his sword, and then what happened, I thought it was going to be like explosion or something dramatic. No. He started, his face, cheeks, the skin started to peel off. And underneath this really looked like armor was starting to peel off, and there was this little boy. And then behind him was the mother who was the medium in that lifetime, who was sitting there she was on her knees with her arms open. And she was, and then Mary Magdalene was standing behind her, and the little boy just ran to them. And then he disappeared, you know, like butterflies just flying away. Just, I can't even describe the beauty of that closure. But I can tell you that it's not me. It's the masters. It's the angels. It's God. You know, I'm just a conduit. You know, I'm just a gifted individual, you know, that I can see them and I can hear them. And what they do in spirit world is so powerful. And I mean, what they do here from spirit world on this plane is so beautiful, and their energy, it changes everything. It changes their perceptions. I mean, these are the things that I couldn't share with my family. I couldn't sit around Thanksgiving and say, hey, guess what me and Michael did today? You know, it's something that's very, very, it's a very, very honor. It's an honor. I feel honored to be able to be a part of their work and what they're doing for the people. So when I came back and I told this woman about what we did, she was crying on the phone, but also I can hear in her heart that I don't think her sister's going to change. But, you know, we did it because it's part of our service to this world. It's part of us and what we are and what we came here to do. And so I share that story with you because there are a lot of people out there who believe that demons can't be changed. But if there's a slight little bit of light left in that demonic energy, we can find it, and only the angels can do that. That's something that's way beyond my pay grade. But, you know, I'm sharing this with you just so to give you some insight about some of the twisted mazes that can be done and redone in this life. So, as you say, Maura, I had a question.
That is just so beautiful in the way you can tell a story about what you experienced and help people understand the validity of your service and the way that you work with the angels and help. I mean, changing demons so that they can choose their way back home to God is just astounding. And that does bring me back to Maura. As you were speaking earlier, Maura heard you say that, you know, even the man who killed her probably has a higher self or some demons in him from the war or whatever his story was. She wanted to know if we could send a blessing to him that maybe he would heal and that maybe he would turn himself in. And she's also said, as you were telling this story, Matthew, that as each of us do these acts of random kindness that you were talking about earlier, that she thinks that each one of them is like sending love to the man who killed her, that the energy will move and heal, and that not only she will find resolution, but he will as well. And she says last week and the weeks before, when we would work with her and we would get information about who killed her and all of that, she wasn't in a place to think beyond that. But now she can feel that she can heal and that individual can heal as well. And then she was bringing up what Wendy was talking about at the beginning of the show as a surrogate healer, that maybe the man who killed her could become a surrogate healer for other serial killers. So Maura's pretty jazzed about us communicating
yeah.
and assisting her.
Yeah, the energy is definitely shifted here in this work that we're doing. We have an 845 number here with her hand up. Do you want to take a few minutes to answer this call?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So 8679, you're on the phone with Robin and Matthew Bueno. Robin,
hi.
I'm with Matthew Bueno. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I think it's fascinating. Your work is just really wow. I was just astonished and had to call in and thank you both for all you
sure.
do.
Sure. Did you have
thank
a question
you.
For Robin or me?
I have a personal question. Are you taking those tonight?
Oh, what is
we
it?
We have a few more minutes, I think, don't we, Matthew, for the show?
Yeah, we can go over a little bit. It's okay.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I was wondering, there is a trip that I'm going on for work, and I was wondering if you see it going well, if I'll be able to bring a relative with me as well, if you see it beneficial to my career, just I guess in general how you see it playing.
Robin, that's your department.
Okay. Well, first of all, my sense is that you're feeling, I'm going to answer the question the way you asked it first, which was, what do I see? What I see is that this isn't going to influence your career one way or the other. I feel like it's more about changing an energy within yourself that will shift the vibration of your career around. I get the sense that the overlighting diva of your career, that feels good. But in terms of you feeling safe at work, if we don't feel safe, we don't feel playful. And as Matthew was talking earlier, being playful and being in our childlike frequency and having that freedom to express ourselves is what is the energy that brings us the closest to God. And my sense with you is that the career that is meant to be for you, whether it's the one you're in or something else, it's very attuned to you feeling safe, to you feeling playful, to you being creative. And when I look at that, I see you having relatives or anyone else you want around you. There's a lot more freedom and flexibility to it. And given that, as I'm watching your energy shift, I'm now going to answer the question differently, because I feel that the way I saw you before I told you those words are different than the way you are right now, because I think you heard me and you already shape-shifted yourself. Is that true?
Yeah, wow.
Okay, because what I'm feeling now is that when you stay in your awareness that the first thing you have to do is create a safe environment for yourself before you pick how you're going to play, i.e. what your career is going to be. For you, that is vital. And once that's set up, there's a lot of movement in your field in terms of really having a good time at your work, which is interesting because that's what Matthew was talking about. Yeah, go ahead,
yeah.
Matthew.
I have to cut you off because it's going to shut down. I thought I was going to be able to extend the time.
Okay.
And it's not allowing me to. So we got 25 seconds. Hey, I just want to say thank you for calling in like that. If you want to call Robin and make an appointment, she also does readings. And I just want to say thank you to Robin Alexis for her beautiful self and her energy that she brings to the show, and for Marilyn Monroe and Maura. And for all of you listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll be back again next Sunday at 3:30 again with our special guest. So God bless, and thank you for the opportunity to be in service. Thank you, Robin.
God bless.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.